my latest Maximum review from www.mufcclub.co.uk. We won. Glazers out. Say we won. Glazers out. Manchester United back in action against Aston Villa at Old Trafford after a nice, well, for them, a nice 10-day break. Their three performances from their last, which was a two-week break, have been, well, regressive, and I'm being generous in that regard. And a lucky win against Everton, which, as I say, when you spend £200 million, you hope to win that game. A draw would have been a fair result. Big fortune against Crystal Palace with a red card. Took advantage of that to come from a goal down 2-1. We're lucky again to get another red card against Newcastle, but actually what we saw in the second half is exactly what this Manchester United team are. A bunch of players, good players on paper, but when it comes to actually pressurising, making decisions, passing the ball well, putting the ball into the back of the net against 10 men, they couldn't do it. And they didn't deserve to win that game. Some people would argue maybe they didn't deserve to lose it, but the fact is, you bring on Teo Malacia as the guy who's going to change the game. I think Carrick Waller, I think, privately admit he made a massive mistake, but Teo Malacia shouldn't even be anywhere near the squad, in my opinion. He is on the bench again today. Don't see the point. I'd rather have another goalkeeper, to be perfectly honest. He's not going to be in the Football Cup next season, so what is the point? But anyway, team news is out. Manchester United, one change, I think, for the team that started against Newcastle. I think Ahmad's coming for Sesko, so it's Lemens in goal. Then it's, oh no, Dallow's coming for Mazraoui. So Dallow, Maguire, Yoro and Luke Shaw. Our man who's coming on, it's Dennis, has said that's not a very good defence, that. We'll find out. Midfield three of Casemiro, Bruno Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo. And further forward, it's going to be Ahmad, Cunha and Brian Mbeumo. It'll be interesting if we actually see any energy from these Manchester United players. As I say, they've looked tired with a complete lack of energy, and they're playing one game a week. I've seen the last few Newcastle games, they're playing more games than Man United and have been more energised. It's quite embarrassing that these players can't step up and actually at least show some energy during the game. But we'll see how they get on today. But as I've sort of mentioned, Dennis is back. I thought he was going to choke today, but to be fair to him, I called him and he was available. To be honest, I could see that he was actually at home, so he had nowhere to go. He was trying to claim he was in a nightclub, I think. But anyway, Dennis, how's it going, mate?
Hello.
So, your thoughts on the game today, Manchester United Aston Villa? You were saying before you had a few things to say. I mean, let's ask about the defence. You weren't sold on that defence, were you?
No, when you read the team out and the defence, I thought, oh, that's a vulnerable defence, you know. But equally, I think Aston Villa have got a weak defence as well. So, I think it's probably a case of the team who scores first wins, that probably, in some ways.
I mean, you were talking before about the pace that Villa have in their team. Obviously, United have struggled against pace this season because, let's be honest, I'm trying to think of any fast players that they have. They don't have many. Obviously, Ahmad Diallo and Bruma's got a little bit. He's sort of one of these players that he's got good stamina, but that first few yards, he's got a little bit of pace. But elsewhere within that team, there isn't any pace whatsoever. Just it's Ahmad and Mbeumo. But you think that Villa, with the pacey players they've got, could cause United problems?
Definitely, I think they've got a few creative players like Rodgers and Watkins gets a good service, obviously. McGinn's back as well. I think they've really missed him. So I think he's the sort of player that I think he will cause Man United problems, because he's strong, he can keep hold of the ball, his distribution's really good. So I don't think Manchester United have got a player like him. So I think he will be, if he plays well, I know you said that he may not be fully fit, but I doubt if that's the case.
Well, he's not going to be fully fit because he's not fully match fit, is he? Because he's not played games. But obviously, what my thought process is, he won't play 90 minutes. He'll be on 60 to 70. Because we know what the Premier League's like. You have to be fit. You have to be physically fit. It's much stronger than a lot of leagues in Europe. I know there's this thing about none of the English teams won this week in Europe. To be honest, that doesn't really matter. Because what actually really matters is what happens in the second leg. That was sort of my thoughts on McGinn. So anyway, carry on about Villa. Sorry.
No, just saying, I think they probably need to start. They've become really inconsistent, haven't they? A bit like United, actually. Villa, the profile is very similar. They started the season off really slowly, then they picked up, and then they've hit like a flat spot again. Whereas United did the opposite, where they were really poor, and then obviously since Carrick came in, they've strung some good performances. Well, actually not good performances, good results, I'm about to say.
Just on Carrick, I mean, Jim Ratcliffe, who needs to shut up because he knows nothing about football, and he is 100% not a proper Manchester United fan. As I say, I think if either Chelsea got in the Champions League ahead of Manchester United, he'd be able to go and watch the games in his little box there. But he has said this week that Michael Carrick is doing an excellent job. Remember, this is a guy that said Amorim's going to still be in charge for 3 years. Your thoughts on his latest comments?
Ratcliffe's towards Carrick?
Yes.
Doing an excellent job.
That's what he said. He's got it out there. He's got his PR, well, United are PRFC.
Well, you know, football's all about opinions, isn't it? Every man and his dog's got an opinion. But I actually agree with Paul Scholes when I know it got published and he said about, well, the focus has been shit, and then he sort of referred.
Apologies for the language, Dodgy Dennis, carry on.
Yep, so essentially, like, you know, Paul Scholes withdrew that comment because of an old mate's act, I suppose. And I think actually the performance had been poor, but I guess, you know, Carrick deserves some credit that he's actually got positive results, and from positive results, I guess, comes confidence. So I suppose that's what everyone's hoping for, really. Will results translate to a confident, more free-flowing football team.
And I think that's a really good point about Paul's goals. And unfortunately, again, this is the agenda that we have, unfortunately, off pitch. Gary Neville would never, or Roy Keane didn't want, would never say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should have been sacked. Should have been sacked, I would say, after the 5-0 game, even more against Liverpool, even more so after the Man City came to United and declared it 2-0, because they didn't want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to be sacked. We beat Spurs 3-0, which is always great, then we get beat 4-1 by Watford, then they do the job. They had no plan, and, you know, that's the problem at Manchester United. They do lack a plan. Although, to be fair, Jason Wilcox, I don't think, fingers crossed, he's going to be stupid enough to anoint Michael Carrick as the manager before the end of the season. There should be no decisions made, and they should have to be looking in the background, really, about who could possibly come in. Obviously, Carrick has an opportunity. He has a chance. We got Villa today, Bournemouth on Friday. United need to be getting 6 points out of those games. Chelsea lost last night to Newcastle. Newcastle may only have one game a week like Manchester United have had, basically, for a good run of games if they go out to Barcelona, which you would expect, but they might not do. So, you know, United need to think about what's behind them. And push on. If you can get a couple of wins, that puts them in a good pole position for trying to get top 4 or 5 place, as is probably looking top 5. And then it's a case of once you hit April, pushing on again in that situation. But anyway, back to Dennis. Score predictions for today?
Probably going to go 3-1, Aston Villa to win. Because I think that was the first thing that stood out for me. The defence, I think it is very vulnerable. I know you think I've got some sort of vendetta against Maguire. I haven't. I just don't think he's good enough. He's static. I think the likes of Watkins will expose Maguire today if he gets a good service. So I think Villa will be looking at that to sort of expose United.
I mean, Dennis, he does hate Harry Maguire. He does hate Man United. But I think he actually talks a little bit of sense there in regards to Harry Maguire is good when you loft the balls in and you're not running at him. The one sort of plus point is Yoro is better with defenders running at him, but he struggles when the ball's thrown into the box. He's been manhandled a few times by, it's wrong to say less players, but players you would think as a centre-back, you should be able to deal with those players. That's your job. Part of your job is to strength side. But yeah, if Ollie Watkins gets into those positions, he's going to cause a lot of damage if it's Harry Maguire in those positions. If it's Yoro, I think less so, because Yoro does have the pace to keep up. Actually, I should say Yoro's another player that has pace. So Yoro and Puma and Ahmad are the pace in that Manchester United side. Everybody else is very, very slow. Anyway, thanks as always, Dennis. I think Dennis is with both. I've got to get off to the game soon. He's got an Everton coaster on his table that he's used. I don't know where his Liverpool coaster is. And I did get him a Liverpool teddy bear for his 60th birthday, but he seems to disappear. Dennis, where's the teddy bear?
Don't comment.
Anyway, I will be back post-match with my thoughts.
Well, I'm back post-match. Had a bit of a technical issue. Hopefully the stuff with Dennis won't be lost forever. Big thanks to Dennis. But it's finished at Old Trafford. It's finished Manchester United 3, Aston Villa 1. So Dennis got the score correct, but he got them with the wrong teams. And a game where an improvement on previous performances, less going slightly upslope with this one. Obviously, the result, and as Dennis mentioned, he's got good results, Michael Carrick, but performances basically have been poor since the breaks in the last three games. But today, it was better, especially in the second half. And you can have poor first half, and I think both teams were poor in the first half. There wasn't really much to say about the first half. I mean, the disappointing thing in the first half is that United didn't start off high intensity when they should have done. Villa had played 3 days ago. They just allowed Villa to basically have the ball. They weren't doing too much with the ball, to be fair to Villa. There were a lot of on-ball trying to play in Ollie Watkins over the top. But Yoro, as I talked about with the pace, to be fair, there was one period where Watkins got in and it was Harry Maguire he was facing in the penalty box. And to be fair, Harry Maguire, he got the challenge in and it was a key challenge because he did worry. I was in a different position. I was at the other end of the pitch for that. And sort of as the half wore on, United got into it a bit more, a little bit more pressure on the Villa goal, a few corners, a free kicks in and around the penalty area, an opportunity for Ahmad from a corner. It was headed back by Maguire. Ahmad got the header in, saved by Martinez. And then Dallow also got in, but his finish was poor. He got in behind. He actually got in behind again in the second half. It was one of his runs that he does, found superbly in the first half. Chested the ball down, but his left foot finish basically blasted it over. Was that worse than Bruno's effort of a shot on the edge of the box that I thought had gone way over the bar, but actually what it had done, it had gone towards the corner flag, and Ahmad did some crazy stuff to keep it in and then sort of set up another United opportunity. I think that one actually went for a corner once United recycled it back. But at halftime, it was 0-0, not much quality. And you just thought to yourself, right, let's hope Michael Carrick gets some players, and they need to start the second half with much more intensity, much more energy, and pushing Villa back. They were the team at home. And it was an opportunity, if they could get the victory, to sort of push themselves a bit further up that table and further away from fifth place, because we are thinking, I mean, I think even if all the English clubs went out of Europe this week, they'd probably still have a fifth place opportunity. I think, although Villa, I imagine I do fancy Villa, as long as they don't mess it up against Lille, to get a bit further in the Europa League, although they have got a bit of a tricky draw. They're in the difficult half of the draw, to be fair. So in the start of the second half, United did come out with that intensity, because you can't have average or poor first half, but then you've got to, and if it's 0-0, you've got to then make sure you take advantage and push the team, especially a team that's played three days ago, back. And that's what Manchester United did, pushing them back, creating nothing clear cut, but they were getting corners again, some free kicks, and getting the ball into the box. And they were causing a lot more problems to the Aston Villa defenders. And then a corner, Bruno Fernandes into the box, and it was Casemiro who put the ball into the back of the net. And I mean, in regards to Casemiro, Bruno Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo, they actually worked pretty well as a unit for a change. There's usually massive gaps in Manchester United's midfield. It was much better today with all three playing pretty well. Casemiro on occasion physically wise, because it's very Anthony Taylor, who was the referee today. I'm not sold on him, but he was consistent throughout the match with physicality in challenges. If he allowed that physicality, and he allowed it throughout the game, and on the odd occasion Casemiro did get caught out and thought he should have had a free kick. On occasion as well, with certain players just holding on to the ball too long, thinking they've got a bit more time. This is the Premier League. You don't get time. I mean, I've just watched the Liverpool Spurs game, and there were players who thought they could grab an extra touch. You're not going to get an extra touch. People are going to be in on you. And this was the kind of matches that you have in the Premier League. So United took the lead, but then they seemed to sit back. Well, they didn't seem to sit back. They did sit back. They sat back, and Villa pushed on. And United had opportunities to clear balls at times, but were giving it away in dangerous areas. Onana got in at the back post, but a good save from Lemons. And then Villa had we think it possibly was a handball, but play sort of continued on. United sort of cleared it, but only as far as Digne. Digne put a cross in from where I was sitting. I was behind that goal, because I was in a different position. Usually the position where we don't score a lot of goals and we lose. Obviously, we scored four against Bournemouth, and we scored three today, so maybe that's improving. I'm up there when we play Leeds as well in a few weeks' time. But Digne drilled the ball into the back of the net, straight into Ross Barkley, who it was an excellent finish. Onana could have been picked out for offside. It looks like he said he did touch it, but there was no conclusive proof from VAR. I mean, Lemons didn't have a chance with that. And the funny thing, a friend had I'd messaged about sitting in this place where United basically don't win football matches. I'm in a different seat. And he mentioned that, well, Ross Barkley's playing for Villa, you should be all right. Typical Ross Barkley getting the equaliser for Aston Villa. But to be fair, United, after that, they stopped sitting back. They realised they needed to get another goal if they want to win the game. I know it's not rocket science, but I've watched a lot of games where I've watched United when they needed a goal from a goal behind or a level. And they're just playing around with the ball or giving it away and not doing anything with it and wasting time passing around the back. But United were all intensity going forward, and it was a lovely little ball from Bruno Fernandes. I was right behind it at the other end of the pitch into Cunha, and he just basically, it was just a perfect ball. It was just passed through to him, and the finish was outstanding. I mean, for the position I thought it was a little bit wide on the goal, but He just made it look simple. The finish, it was absolutely fantastic to put United 2-1 up. And you know, at that point, as I say, people will say, my friend calls me the Negatron. I am, you know, you've got these glass half full, half glass empty. I'm a half glass half empty person with Manchester United. I've watched them a lot over the years, especially in the last 10 years since Fergie's left, and they have messed things up right and royally on numerous occasions. So a 2-1 up, you're thinking to yourself, let's get a third goal. Sesko comes on for Brian and Mbeumo, which was interesting. He seems to be the person that is subbed. I suppose it would have been difficult to take off Cunha after he just scored the goal. And yeah, Sesko came on. There was a bit of a Cunha again got in round the back, cross in, and there was a bit of a ricochets, ended up at Sesko's feet, and he drilled it, and it came, I think it was Mings. I mean, Dallow was sort of in an offside position in front of the keeper, but I think maybe the deflection might have saved it, and maybe was it in the eye line of the goalkeeper, and it was going in anyway, deflected off Tyrone Mings and Sesko, and I do love Sesko's celebration when he runs to the corner and he jumps very, very high. United really should have had more goals, to be fair. Sesko was put to another excellent ball on from the outside from Bruno Fernandes. For some reason, Sesko decided to square it to Ahmad, and it was an awful... It was an awful ball across to Ahmad. But for me, just run in on goal. Just run in and get another goal, or at least get a bit close to the goal. He seemed to cross it from the edge of the box, where he should have just carried on running. He was in a similar place to where Cunha was, and... You know, maybe that's just... I'm surprised. He is a good finisher, to be fair to Sesko. You know, he's running through clear. He tried to square it to Ahmad, maybe sort of trying to help a teammate out. But as I say, with United only having a two-goal lead, yeah, it's better than having a one-goal lead. You're still worried, and it's quite funny because Villa actually had an opportunity right at the end of the game. It should have been 3-2. It was... United sometimes do, they have the ball, they were just playing with it right in the last couple of minutes of stoppage time, and they gave the ball away. It was a poor ball. Villa broke up, obviously they had a lot of their players further forward, and it was passed to the back post, and the two players got in the way of each other, and basically it should have been 3-2, and Villa would have had a minute to get another goal. I mean, if you're Dundee United fans, Dundee scored after basically being absolutely useless in the game, because I listened to the post-match, got two goals in the last two and a half minutes of stoppage time. That's how quick it can happen. So, Villa would have maybe thought, I mean, United probably would have hoped would have seen it out at that point. They had opportunities themselves breaking further forward. There was a chance, Ahmad tried to put... there was a chance where Ahmad should have probably put Sesko in, to be fair, but Ahmad had on and tried to shoot himself. That's what Sesko should have done. Sometimes you have to be a little bit selfish. I think Ahmad in that situation was being selfish, but he should have passed it, whereas Sesko wasn't being selfish, but he should have been selfish. So, I think Ahmad, he had a very in-and-out game, but you saw little flashes, and, I think he is... He's under Ramadan, so he's not eating during the sort of daylight hours. And there wasn't a stoppage today, I don't think, for him to bring on. Although there was some stoppages, don't know if he went over to get. So maybe that just affects him at this stage. But with the four, you've got the four attacking players. To be fair to Carrick, he's managed them very well in that regard, in sort of giving most of them game time. And they're making impacts. Hammer's probably made the least impact out of the four of them. But, you know, he's a young player, and I think opportunity, you know, we'll get his opportunities improve in that regard. But United sort out for a 3-1 victory. As I say, it wasn't regressive today. It was much better, mainly in the second half. There's still work to do because so maybe Villa have been more up for pushing forward sort of right at the start of the game. Instead of, they were sort of feeling their way into the game, but if they'd gone for the juggler, maybe got a goal or maybe two goals, you're behind the eight ball, and before you start playing, United need from the moment that the whistle goes, they need to be playing and pushing teams back and using that energy, especially at home. And you know, it's fair, Michael Carrick has won all the home matches, so you know, fair play. And obviously, there'll be the talk from the idiots in the media, especially. Should Michael Carrick get the job? The answer is no, because no decision should be being made. It's Bournemouth on Friday away with the man that I would essentially pick as the new manager, Iriola from Bournemouth. He's done an excellent job there with basically minimal resources and getting his best players taken away from him every season, and he's done an excellent job. Obviously, Bournemouth to Man United, it's a very different ball game, but that would be my sort of choice, you know, off pick. And you would hope that Jason Wilcox, he's looking not just at some of that Iriola, he's looking at other people. But obviously Carrick's in position, as I said to you, 14-2-1 for Carrick. He's already lost his one match. He's already drawn one of the games. And for United, what they could, you know, it'd be really helpful for them getting the 3 points at Bournemouth. It's going to be a difficult game. You know, 4-4 at Old Trafford, no Semenyo. And say Bournemouth are struggling, they're struggling a bit with goals, and part of that is not having Semenyo, basically. And this is an opportunity for United to get down there on a Friday night. I'll be round with my friend Linders. So, you know, positives for United, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And fair play to Michael Carrick. He got it right in regards of getting them ready and up for it for the second half, which is massively, massively important. And, you know, at 1-1, it was looking a bit tricky. And fair play to Bruno Fernandes with that ball. But as I say, as a unit, I think Fernandes, Mainoo and Casemiro played much better as a unit, sort of closing out the gap, giving Bruno to do the things that he does. Kobbie Mainoo had a good game. And say, in an understated way, and that's what I want to see, consistency like that, you know, week in, week out from in an understated way, and all these things, oh, we should get back in the England squad. I mean, I think they're a lot more better midfielders. And one thing just at the moment, if you get some injuries, maybe that's an opportunity for to call take, but an England squad will be coming out soon because there's an international break. Just to say, I forgot to mention, Mason Mount was back on the bench. You know, maybe he'll be on the bench on Friday. It depends if Yuzi gets injured at some point. So, a very important win for Manchester United. Liverpool drew today as well. So they're actually 5 points clear of fifth place. But I think the target should be to try and stay in third, because that guarantees it in case there's a down low on the English clubs in Europe, which none of them won last week. But as I say, it's what happens in the second leg is what matters. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up at various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCAST, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global and they will come up. As I say, I will be back after the Bournemouth game, which is this coming Friday. I'm round at Linders for the match. Fingers crossed that United can start that weekend, you know, with another 3 points. Because as I say, it's going to be a difficult game down at Bournemouth. And as I say, we'll probably get the article, Carrick versus Iraola. But at the end of the day, all Michael Carrick can do is keep winning matches. It's up to Jason Wilcox to make the right decisions in regards to the next manager. Because whoever the next manager is, if he gets it wrong, Jason Wilcox. As I say, the Jason Wilcox regime now, he is in charge. So, as always, thanks for listening. I will be back after the Bournemouth game on Friday night.